I'm happy to have the opportunity to be with you this morning. And doubtless you've heard about the new grandfather who was talking to a friend, and he said, "Have I shown you the pictures of my new grandchildren?" And to which the friend replied, "No, and I sure do appreciate it." "Have I told you about my recent surgery?" I'm sure your response is, "No, and I sure do appreciate it." And I'm not going to bore you with it this morning at all, but I just could not pass up an opportunity to say how sincerely I appreciate your kindness, your thoughtfulness, so many of you, the cards, the delicious food that has been brought to us, your concern, your prayers, your words of encouragement. It really has been a great deal. I appreciate Dr. Fulks and all that he's done for me and continues to do. But it's great to be a part of a group of Christians like you and to have the faith that we do. I've always believed in prayer, but I do more fervently than I ever have before in my life, and I appreciate your prayers as well. But obviously the things that happen to us in life often cause us to think about various incidences and stories that are found in the Bible. And as I did face this particular rather serious condition, I thought about Hezekiah. I began to pray, as I think you would. I wanted my life to continue. I think about my grandchildren and all of those things that any of us would, and we're just not quite ready to leave this life. And I thought about Hezekiah, however, as I was praying, and how Hezekiah prayed. If you want to read this story, it's in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter. It begins with the very first verse. And Hezekiah was told that he was going to die, and he began to pray, like I think most any human would do, and as I did. Let me read to you that passage as it begins. "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Let me insert just right here before going any further that I really don't want to come across this morning in any sense as being morbid or trying to be emotional. It's just something that obviously is on my heart. And I think it's something that all of us need at least to think about. When the prophet said to Hezekiah, "Set your house in order," obviously he was saying, "Hezekiah, you're going to die." And is it not true that by nature man has an absolute horror of death? And he'll do almost anything, and he'll try most anything, he'll go anywhere if he thinks that his life can be extended. He's willing to suffer a great deal, and Hezekiah was not any different from any of us. Hezekiah began to pray that his life would not end at that point. And by the way, he's eulogized as one of the three great kings of Judah, the other two being David and Josiah. And so we're talking about a good man here, a great godly man, a king over Judah at this time. And as you listen to Hezekiah, even though he's a good man, he begins to say, Isaiah 38:18, Isaiah is quoting Hezekiah here, and he's saying to God, the living shall praise thee, for the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. Well, Hezekiah may have been ready to die spiritually, but he surely wasn't ready to die. He wanted his life to be extended as any of us would. It is, I think, significant that at this point Hezekiah seemed to have his spiritual house pretty much in order. He seems to have his kingdom securely established. At this point, it's as though he has everything to live for. He's still a young man. He can look forward to other things. And yet that's when the announcement came to him that he was going to die. I guess we've all known people, every one of us, who just at the point in their life when they seem to have everything in order, and business is going good, the family is well, finances are all right, and suddenly that solemn announcement comes to them, or maybe it even happens as it did to Dr. Ben Sumner, that many of you remember as a part of this congregation years ago. Just very quickly, his life was taken in an automobile accident. We just don't know. But here are people who've worked hard. They've gotten to the position in life where they think they can really, at this point, start enjoying it. And then that announcement, that warning that came to Hezekiah comes. Well, somewhere in the unknown future, there is that shadow that's feared of all men. Even the Bible speaks of death as an enemy. But for all of us, and we know that, don't we? We know intellectually that life doesn't go on. We've seen it happen too many times with friends and family members, and we've been to too many funerals, and we know that's coming. We know, as the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that cometh the judgment. But when you're faced with it, when you begin to think it may be very near, it takes on a different perspective. And that's what's happening to Hezekiah here. It's now come to him. And it's going to be as it is with the Son of Man and his coming. It says, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And for many of us, that's the way it will be. In a time when we're not thinking about it, we don't think it's going to come, so it may come. And all that I'm trying to say this morning is simply that the certainty of death and the uncertainty of the time of death ought to make every one of us prepare ourselves for whenever that time may be. And the time to make that preparation is now. It's to be made immediately. And so I want to raise a question this morning that I know you've heard many times and probably ask yourself, and you've heard many a preacher say something like this. I hope somehow it'll hit you more directly. But honestly, can you say that you are prepared to meet God? Can you say you're ready? If this time were to come, is your heart right with God? Do you know your life is what it ought to be in relationship to God? You know, the Bible is so clear in saying that now is the time of preparation. There's not anywhere, and I've tried to read it from beginning to end, there's not anywhere that says make preparation when death comes. There's not anywhere in the Bible that says look forward to getting ready and getting your life straightened out when death comes. What it does say very emphatically is now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Well, when that message came to Hezekiah, you can imagine, as I think you or I would be, he was sorrowful. In fact, the Bible says he cried. And it wasn't that he just cried, but it said he wept sore, meaning that there was really some fervent tears and crying going on and a breaking of his heart. He wept sore. But now, there's not anything to indicate that he was sorrowful because of a guilty conscience. This man, from all that we can read, had endeavored to live his life to God and serve God very faithfully. Oh, I'm not saying that he didn't make mistakes. He was human. Doubtless he had made many mistakes in his life. But his heart was right with God. But you hear him say, and this is in verse 3, I beseech you, we would say, I beg you, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth, with a perfect heart, and have done that which is right in thy sight. Well, he's sad, not because he's been a sinful man. He's sad only because of the shortening of his life. He's only 39 years old, and he doesn't want his life to end. And so, in answer to that prayer, and I think God answers prayer, I know that he answers prayer. And he answered Hezekiah's prayer, and he added 15 years to his life. Well, wonderful. But the sad part is that it was after those years had been given to him that Hezekiah went astray. Up to this point, he had lived his life in service to God. His heart was right with God. He was living right. But during that time that God allowed him to live longer, he departed from the Lord. How much better it would have been had he been content, and maybe in our lives, how much better it would be if we would be content to go when God calls us. Certainly it would have been that way in Hezekiah's life. But isn't it a mystery? Often it's a great mystery. Why it seems that good men and good women are taken from us prematurely. I know 62 years doesn't sound like a short life to a lot of the young folks here, but to some of us who are older, 62 isn't very old. And I wondered when Ira North died at 62 years of age, why it had to happen. He was needed. He was doing such a great work. Bethel Barrett Baxter was in his 60s. I couldn't understand why at that point men that were so needed and so talented and dedicated to the Lord had their lives taken. But there are mysteries and things like that, and we don't always know. Let us simply be content with the thought that it's right, and that all things work together for good to those who do love the Lord. But now I want to go back now to us, to you, me. If death were to suddenly come to you, and it may, I know you don't think it will. I don't think it will. But if death were suddenly to come to you today, would you be ready? Would you be ready to go into eternity to face the judgment? That's not a hypothetical question, because that day will come. Is your spiritual house in order? And honestly, are you really living so that spiritually your house is in order? Let's think about that for a moment. Your house is in order, spiritually in order. If you've repented of your sins, if you have confessed Christ as the Son of God, if you believe that, and you've confessed it with your mouth, as he says in Romans 10:10, and you have been buried with him in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, where you can meet the blood of Christ, Acts 2:38, Romans 6, verses 4 and 5, or verse 4, Romans 10. If you've done that, that's the beginning. Your house could be set in order. Some of you haven't done that. And there have been years and years that you've given me the opportunity to preach here, and I've preached in other places, and I think I feel more fervently than ever that I wish somehow I could not detract from God's Word, but just somehow we could all be made to feel how necessary that is, that we have our spiritual house in order. Most of us here today are Christians. We've done those first principle things. We believe in Jesus, and we think He's God's Son, He's divine, and we've even confessed it. And there was a time when someone assisted us in our baptism. But now the question comes, and every one of us have to ask it. Your house is in order if you are living a Christian life that is faithful to the Lord. Not every Christian does. There are a lot of people who start this journey. Devil throws some stumbling blocks in the way, and we just drift away. Oh, we may still be sitting in the church building, but, you know, we in our own hearts know that we're not really living after the example of Christ. We're not really living after His Word. But is it not very emphatic that the Lord said in Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful until death, and I'll give thee the crown of life." He didn't say just start it. He said you stay faithful as long as you're allowed to live, and you'll have the crown of life, that home in heaven. If you're living faithfully as a Christian, your house is in order. Your house is in order if you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Second commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Second is, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's a great part of living the Christian life. And if you are a member of the church that you read of in the Bible, not just a church, but if you're a member of the church that you read of in the Bible, the one that Christ died to save, the one that He bought with His blood, if you can say with a surety that you are a part of that, that you've been added to His church, You ready? With every coin, there are two sides, and there's another side to this coin. And you or I are not ready if we've never been cleansed by the blood of Christ. So many passages, Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's only where our sins can be washed away. Going on a little further, Revelation 7:14, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And you could add to that Paul's statement in the Ephesian letter, the second chapter, in verse 13, when he said that we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Well, when you or I obey the gospel, we were cleansed by the blood of Christ. No power in the water, we all know that. But when we confess our faith in Christ and we have repented of our sins and we go down into that watery grave, we meet the blood of Christ, as it were. And that's when our sins, in that obedience, are washed away. When you obey the gospel. And if you haven't done that, you are not ready. You're not ready if you're not in fellowship with the church. That doesn't necessarily mean that somebody has stood in a pulpit and say, this person is no longer in fellowship with us. There's really more to it than that. In fact, in 1 John 1 and verse 7, he said, if you walk in the light and as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanseth us. And the idea is it keeps on cleansing us from all sin. And then you remember that passage in Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Do you find yourself saying, I don't need to go every time the church assembles? Sunday night's not very important. Whatever it is. But he said, don't forsake the assembling. When the saints get together, when they come together to worship God, when they come to encourage each other, don't forsake that. Be a part of it. And anyone who truly loves the Lord will want to be a part of that assembling and gain the strength that comes from being with others that have the same kind of faith. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself. If you do that, your house is not in order. And if you're not living the Christian life, you wear the name of Christ, somebody says, what's your religion? You say, I'm a Christian. But there's more to it than saying that we're a Christian. It's living it. Christianity is a way of life. Jesus said, if a man abides in me, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. If ye abide in me and my word abides in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done to you. That's John 15, verses 6 and 7. And again in John, the 15th chapter, that 10th verse, he says, if you keep my commandments, not if you know my commandments, not if you can quote my commandments, but if you keep them, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. And brethren, you're not ready if you have hatred in your heart. If there's somebody you hate, it just can't be. He that says that he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. And he goes on in 1 John 2:9. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I know as we sit here this morning we think, well, I don't hate anybody. Well, I hope we don't. But if you do, get rid of it. You're not ready if you're a drunkard. We don't talk about drinking and drunkenness much anymore, but maybe you hide it. Nor drunkards shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:10. You're not ready if you're an adulterer. Often such things are done in secret, at least from the eyes of others. Nothing is hidden from God. If you're an adulterer, you're not ready to meet God. The Bible is very clear, 1 Corinthians 6:9, nor adulterers shall inherit the kingdom of God. If you're a liar, if I'm a liar, our house is not in order. All liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You could talk a lot about that, I guess, couldn't we? Income tax, you're going to lie on your income tax. Just a lot of things. We're not to be liars. If you're neglecting your family. And all of these things are just everyday kind of things. And really the Christian life is not always just these high principles. It's just everyday living. You're faithful to your mate. You don't lie. You don't hate other people. And furthermore, you're not neglecting your family. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That's 1 Timothy 5 and verse 10, or verse 80. And I guess something that we're all a little concerned about, and I've noticed even in our prayers recently, and I thought the way Jason put it this morning as he led us in prayer was the right perspective. If we're just laying up for ourselves treasures on earth, And you know, we're all so caught up in this economic downturn now, and we're worrying about where we're going to have our retirement or whether we're going to lose. If all we're doing is laying up treasures on this earth, and we're not laying up our treasures in heaven, we're not ready for that warning to come to us. Lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust doth consume, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And there's another statement along that line. Jesus was talking about it in the 12th chapter of Luke, and beginning with the 19th verse. He's talking about that rich farmer. It's so easy for us to fall into that trap that he did. I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Well, all I'm trying to say is, have you set your spiritual house in order? 3,000 did that on Pentecost as they obeyed the gospel. Stephen had such faith and assurance that his house was in order that he could preach without any fear, even though his life was taken. But he knew he had his house in order. And how many times have we read what Paul said about his life? When he said, for I'm now ready. I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's a crown of life laid up in heaven for me. Dorcas was ready. Remember how the friends came and showed the good works that she had done? Well, finally it just comes down, and again, I really hope that what I've tried to say and the way I've said it this morning doesn't come across as just trying to be emotional, although I think emotions are involved. But just from a mental, intellectual standpoint, would you be honest with yourself and ask yourself the question, is my house in order? If you've never obeyed the gospel, you should do that. And by the way, if you have not obeyed the gospel, when do you think you will? If you have not obeyed the gospel, what makes you think you ever are going to, if you won't do it now? What makes you think that you're going to have a long time yet to do these things? Now is the day of salvation, he says. And so I really plead with you this morning. Don't be deceived as Satan deceived Eve when he said to her, you won't die. Don't be deceived as he says to us, you're not going to die soon. You don't know that. But it doesn't make any difference. If you knew you were going to live a long, long time, why would not you want to go ahead right now and give whatever time you have to the Lord? If you're not a Christian, if you haven't yet obeyed the gospel, do it this morning. Don't put that off. It's too important. Your soul's at stake. You believe in Christ. Confess it openly with your mouth. Romans 10:10. Do repent of your sins. And be buried with Him in baptism this very morning. Would you come while together we stand and as we sing?